Hello, good people, and welcome to this a very special best of episode of the Brunswick Beer Collective. This is one that pretty much covers everything, or at least the best things that we could find from season one. So sit back, enjoy, and drink. But you were also at the Moondog.
I was. So this Friday, in fact, the weekend just passed, was the first birthday, not of Moondog Brewing, but of their permanent operation out in Richmond.
I do love that place.
It is a very cool place. It's basically like set up, it looks like it's set up in someone's garage. There's just couches and there's a food truck outside. Well, most people don't have the fortune of a food truck outside their garage. I wish I did. That would be very handy.
And is there that obscure Thai restaurant just nearby?
That obscure Thai restaurant nearby. That's right. And so we've been out drinking earlier in the evening, and we used our soap. The one good thing about the Brunswick Beer Collective being on social media is that we also follow other people on social media, so that was the only reason why we actually knew about this event. And so we headed out there, and they had a stout bar set up, and they had two one-off stouts, one keg of each, set up. So the first one was called the Black Hawk. It was about 9% alcohol, and it was a Redskin Imperial Stout. Now, I don't know either of you remember what a Redskin is. Remember when you were a kid? The Redskin.
Is that what I think it is?
Literally, the Redskin.
But, I mean, technically, if we say it back now, they're probably not allowed to sell it because it's probably racially charged.
Possibly.
I don't know the status there. Apologies to anyone.
But yeah, the Redskin. So they literally, like, used the Redskin in the brewing process. And you could really taste it come through. It tasted a bit like, you know, a raspberry-ish kind of imperial snout. Really, really tasty. It was great. But the second beer was even weirder. It was called the Teddylicious. And it was a coconut curry oatmeal stout. Coconut curry oatmeal stout. I never thought I would hear those four words in sequence describing a beer.
It's a hell of a combination.
I just didn't think I'd ever hear those words in sequence.
Well, coconut curry, that happens.
Mm. Yes, but stout?
Stout, yeah.
Oatmeal? Coconut curry oatmeal?
Coconut curry oatmeal, that'd be...
What's for breakfast, Mum?
But it worked surprisingly well. Like, we drank it, and it tasted a bit like chicken satay or something like that, basically. But if you sort of think about... And Gareth and I were talking about this before the recording started. All the chili beers that we've ever had, all the... You know,
the habaneros.
They work best in a stout or something else with really strong flavour, because then, you know, that chili flavour or that curry flavour doesn't overwhelm the rest of the beer. And in this particular case, it was actually quite tasty. I really liked it. So,
look, good stuff, Moondog.
Yes, but, and they had another couple of other one-off. It was a really good night down there.
Now the big question, and this is something that's important, because you're a Moondog, the home of the Jump in the Shark, did you approach them regarding jumping the left shark?
I will concede that I forgot completely.
God's sake.
I apologise. But on the flip side, we did also not drink the Bad Boy Bubbly, so we made it home. So, I mean...
Well, you not only made it home, but you remembered a lot of this.
Exactly. Small victories. Right. Small victories.
I think we need to go there with a great big cardboard cutout of left shark and make the staff members jump over it.
I think that would be great just in itself. Or more importantly, let's just get a cardboard cutout of left shark.
Now, could we get Fonzie dressed in a left shark costume? Like, would that be like a bit too meta?
I think that would be unbelievably meta. However, Moondog, if you're listening, and I hope you're listening, we may not be able to put all this together, but I'm hoping you can.
Jumping the left shark.
Yeah, jumping the...
2015.
Yeah, 2015, we believe in you guys, make it happen. We'd also like to really drink it. So, what else did you do this weekend?
Well, I mean, my journey this weekend actually started the weekend before, because of course we missed a week in the podcast here.
Good point.
Because we were otherwise engaged last week. So it started on the Friday night, the 27th, whatever it was. So Forrester's Beer Hall, which is on the corner of Smith Street and Gertrude Street, of the 50 beer taps, they had a Feral tap takeover. So they had 32 beers by Feral on tap. And they were meant to have Woodblock Barbecue turn up. And so One of the things that I've built an obsession about in the last few years is American barbecue. It's one of like my favourite things to eat, basically.
And it's always important to combine alcohol with food.
Correct.
For those listening at home, we encourage responsible drinking. We also recommend lining the stomach.
Yeah, responsible eating.
Responsible eating, or you know, if you're going to drink irresponsibly, you know, eat irresponsibly as well at the same time. But mostly, we encourage you to drink responsibly and line the stomach. And so, American barbecue, one of my favorite foods. And the main thing is though, one of the other things that I get really annoyed about, and this actually comes back to something we talked about in the very first episode, don't have beer on the list if you don't actually have it.
Yeah.
Same thing. So. Foresters advertised this event saying, we want barbecue, we're doing food. This runs on Friday and Saturday. And so if you read the website, that's what it says. If you read their ad on Craft Tonight, which is one of the main websites finding out about craft beer events in Australia, also says that. It's only if you go into the Facebook event where it says that Blue Bonnet will only be catering on Saturday. It didn't bother reading Facebook because I don't read three versions of the same thing to figure out they're different. I'm obsessive, I'm not that obsessive. So we got there, and the barbecue menu is like this massive thing on the fucking wall. It's huge Blue Bonnet barbecue menu on the wall. So I just dropped the bar and said, oh, I'll have a beef rib, thanks. And the guy goes, oh no, they're only coming here on Saturday. And
did steam start coming out of your ears?
I get that impression.
I don't think so. Like, if it was a cartoon, the steam certainly would have started coming out of my ears, basically. So that wasn't good. So Foresters are now banned. They're now on the ban list. They're now, you know, one of the many venues on the ban list.
For our listeners, I think you should explain the ban list.
Yeah.
Well, basically, anyone who fucks up gets on the ban list. Like, in fact, it would be shorter if I had an unbanned list. That would be much shorter. So, so venues, when they do things like, so another good example of somebody who's on the ban list is the Swan Hotel in Richmond. I went up to the bartender and said, I would like the Hightail Ale, please, sir. If you will kindly. I didn't use any of the other words other than kind of place of the Hightail Ale.
And the Hightail Ale, that's a pretty regular sort of beer.
That's right. And everyone here knows what the Hightail Ale is. And he goes, whoops. And I said, the Hightail Ale. I thought maybe he couldn't hear me because it was quite loud. And he went, nah, still don't have it. I said, the Mountain Goat, the one with the red goat face on it. And then he had the audacity to give me lip. He said, oh, why don't you just call it the Mountain Goat? Like, because I called it what it's called because there's more than one Mountain Goat beer. Like, it was... Anyway, so the Swan Hotel is also on the ban. Like,
you don't go to McDonald's and ask for the burger.
That's right, exactly.
Okay. Or the McDonald's.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. McDonald's, please.
That's right. It just doesn't fly. So the thing is, like, you know, so the thing is, the banned list, it's a bit of a nebulous concept. Sometimes the banned list means the venue is actually banned and I will not go back there. Other times it just means I'm annoyed at that place, therefore they're on the banned list. So it's a little bit complicated, but...
But, anyway, on this journey, I went to a liquor store in Mount Morphal, in one of the inner city suburbs there in Perth, and across the road from the liquor store was a pirate bar. Literally, that was the name, Pirate Bar. And my wife, Lauren, she's like, that was a pharmacy. It's like, okay. We walked in and we started chatting to the guy behind the bar. He's been working there about 6 months. Really friendly guy. Knew his beers. Had a very nice wine selection too, incidentally. He was saying, yeah, the owner, he owns about 5 pharmacies and this one wasn't making him money. So he decided to open a pirate bar.
No. So it was the owner of the pharmacies turned it into a pirate bar.
Yeah, so it's still owned by the pharmacist. The guy who owns the pharmacy. The pharmacist.
So it doesn't still operate as a pharmacy. They don't dispense drugs.
No. It's a bar.
Well, they're different types of drugs.
That's true.
But you look at it from the outside and it looks like a dull building and the logo, it's very tacky and there's pirate paraphernalia all over the place. But 5 taps, always rotating. Very interesting. They had Hop Hog, Watermelon Warhead, one of the one-off brews from MASH, a Epic Armageddon, a Custard & Co. Cider, and a Pilsner from a brewery in Margaret River that I hadn't heard of before. So that was... and then their fridge, they had a very interesting selection of beers too. So it was, if you're in Perth, don't be fooled by the outside and the name of Pirate Bar. Definitely check it out because they've got some good stuff in there. So what I ended up drinking, tried a few of the beers on tap, but ended up getting a bottle of the small brew by Colonial, which was in a can. That's what everyone is doing now. And it makes sense. I mean, keeps no light gets into the beer.
Yep.
Keeps it at the right temperature. It's easier to transport. It's cheaper. It's good for festivals. It recycles better than glass. It's got this stigma because beer in a can's bad, but putting it in a can is basically better in every way possible than glass is.
Look, that's why Carlton Draft and VB have been in cans for so many years.
Because it's cheap.
Yeah. No, because it's better for the beer, you know. If light touches that golden...
Yes, yes.
It'll taste even worse than it normally does.
yes, it will.
But anyway, yeah, this is the small brew from Colonial. Very good. And it's only 3.5%, so mid-strength.
Mm.
Which I had no idea until I was halfway through drinking it. And the guy's like, guy behind the bar said, yeah, that's mid-strength. Mm. Yeah, sure enough, 3.5%. Really good. I mean, people say that mid-strength beer is bad, but it's the same thing as full-strength beers. They've only drunk bad mid-strength. I like the local tap house. But I mean, been there, you know, probably 5-6 times before. I didn't realise that there was an upstairs and an outdoor area until Saturday. But it was just a great area. I mean, it's always a great spot, but yeah, when the weather's nice, it's outside, they've always got an amazing selection.
I think they had a particularly good list this Saturday as well. I was particularly impressed this weekend with what they had pouring. So yeah,
service is always good there. Staff always know their stuff.
Yeah.
What was that first beer that you got us all?
It was the Session Double IPA by Illawarra Brewing.
That was quite good, but it didn't quite hit our. For those listening at home, we had a rule, or at least I made the rule that we weren't allowed to have over 10% beers. Until the second half of the pub crawl, simply because, well, it kills us and then we never make it to the end.
So
and we had to make it to the north.
That's right. So, of course, what we did was drink only beers that were between 8% and 9% alcohol for the first half of the pub crawl. That's pretty much what we did. We just, leveraged what you said.
Well, it said it was sessionable.
Exactly. It was called the Session Double IPA. So, I mean,
it's like an 8% or a 9%, isn't it?
It was close. To, it was 7.8. It's close to 8. Yeah, it's pretty punchy for
someone up in Illawarra has an interesting definition of session.
Look, maybe they're just tougher in Illawarra. Mm. I don't know.
It was a good beer though.
It was a great beer.
Yeah.
And then we had the 8-wide.
8-wide Renaissance. What was it?
Scotch
mixed with something. Yeah. It was very tasty.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
I mean. Actually, no, that was only 7.5. I remember looking at the bottle thinking, what have I done with myself? but it was actually quite good.
Nice.
Yeah,
I think I had the Motley Brew, which I had to have because of their reference to Motley Crue. That was...
obviously.
That was nice. So I had a couple of my mates who were there are big heavy metal fans as well. So we both had some chuckles about that.
Makes sense.
That was a good session. It was a good session. It was a good way to kick off the day, particularly because from there to the next venue, which was the Newmarket Hotel, was a little bit of a walk. So we needed Newmarket second, Local Towers third, but it was a hike from the tap house then to was it up to Chapel Street? So
yeah.
Was the next
yeah.
So that also was a bit of a hike.
But,
so it was good
that,
to get
that. That's always a required walk.
Basically. Absolutely.
So, I think I think that was a big highlight, but I guess we should mention what we did the night before, which was essentially we were here at the Owl House, and...
Well, yes, we were.
We were. So I mean, just for the people sitting at home, that last week was Owl House's 8th Hopfest,
They pretty much do one every week. I don't know how it's up to number 8.
I know, it should be more like 128 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. I feel like, the publican can't count.
We can't spell.
Yeah, we know that.
We know that.
He can't spell. He probably can't count. But so what he does is the one thing he can do is get one-off beers or new beers into the venue. So
he's a powerful man.
He had around about 20 different hop-driven beers, so whether they be IPAs or hoppy pale ales, hoppy wheat beers, all of which I think were either one-off kegs or the first time they'd been poured in Victoria.
Yep.
I think pretty much everything that went on that week. But he had done a collaboration brew with Mornington Pincer Brewing couple of months ago called the Continuous Darrel, which is this 60-minute continuous hop IPA in the style of the Dogfish Head 60-minute IPA.
Did we ever find out what the Darrel meant?
No.
Someone calls someone Darrel, I'm guessing by Facebook posts.
Okay.
Yeah, that would have been part of the pre-pair, which we did not do.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's an in-joke.
Good point.
Yeah, it's probably an in-joke.
Yeah, I was busy driving.
Yeah, Paul was out of town and he got stuck in traffic and kept on sending us some really sad photos from his odometer.
And when we say out of town, we meant Chadston.
I was in Chadston. It took me an hour and a half to get to Brunswick. Grand total of 14 kilometres an hour. It was marvellous. I was very thirsty by the time I arrived.
So before we go into the first beer then, because you've pretty much texted Jeff and said, get me a beer and a pulled pork burger, stat. And that worked out.
The beer was very nice, though. Yeah. It was very...
Yeah.
It was not a session beer,
but it's a very classic double or imperial IPA. Like, it's got a bit of that sweetness to it, which often comes through when you increase the alcohol content, because you need to use more
sugar
or whatever it is that you use.
Cocaine, yeah.
As you wish.
Cocaine's
again,
a hell
whatever
of a
it is that you use, apparently intensifies your personality. It's a good thing I never got into it, because I don't think that would work well.
I don't
anybody.
Think any of us could handle
no.
it.
No. Yeah, so really, really nice beer, though. And I'm told Alex spent all weekend drinking it.
Which, look, he had already drank a lot when we saw him on Friday.
That's right.
And, you know, I would like to think that at his house he has his own private tap with his own private key.
Yeah, so I think it was just a continuous process. Just like Darrel.
Then my first event was to Forrester's Hall, which I know was on the ban list, but...
Get out! Get out now!
I had heard they had cheap beer, but anyway, so I was at Forrester's on Friday night, and... I had pretty much whatever was left, and it was this really weird thing where you walk in there and you see all, like, there's like 30 taps or something, and you know it's the sort of stuff dreams are made of until you wander over and it's sold out.
Definitely on the bad list.
Exactly. And it was just like, you know, you look down the beer list and you're just like, ooh, that looks really good, that's a great saison, can I have that? No, sorry, we just ran out. What about this one? No, it's out as well. I got the last pot of Young Henry's there, and I was just, I love the Young Henry's Pale Ale, and I just was ecstatic when they had one more, and then I went back for a second and said, oh, no, we don't have that. And they even ran out of hop hold, which was terrifying.
Yeah, but that would have been absurdly frustrating for me. Like, that. I'm glad that I was not there, because...
I was about to say that. Luckily, you weren't there, Jeff. Otherwise, it would have been drama, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would have been chaos with a capital J.
Correct. A silent capital J.
But, a tea rage.
But then after that, I went off to... really, my good beer week is based solely right now on all the preparation, all the sellouts before Good Beer Week begins. because after that, I went up, and our good friend Ben here was actually on the bar at the Ale House. Yes. And so I got there at about midnight and turned up, and it was all pots of pints.
It was one of two happy hours for the year at the Ale House.
Pints of pots, thank you.
That way makes more sense.
And so I had the... It was a motor...
I mean, some would argue the prices are... That's for my price.
Exactly.
Hey.
Agreed. I've always been vocal on that one. But I had the Modus Operandi Red IPA, and it was the sort of beer that you just sort of... You never, ever wanted to finish. Which I think they ran out on the keg.
But, I had the last one of that, so I was very happy when I finished to score a point of that.
But anyway, that...
Poor Scotty missed out, but anyway.
Poor Scotty. We love Scotty. If you're listening, Scotty, which we hope you are, we love your beard. Anyway, but that was my real good beer week so far. Jeff, what's your adventure?
Yeah, so started at, at the opening party, because why wouldn't you not start at the opening party? So went to Beer Deluxe on Friday. They managed to not get themselves on the ban list, because Beer Deluxe is one of these places that always is teetering on the edge of the ban list. I do like it, but as I've said before, any place where I have better knowledge of both what beers they have and where those beers are in the venue, it's just not good. But luckily I found... I found the one bartender behind the bar there who does know what he's talking about and got into it, and then that, it was all fine after that. Right.
I have this great image in my head of you just sort of going up to the bar and say, like, requesting something, and then watching the... It's on the left. No. Down the next staircase. On the left.
That's pretty much my entire life in Theatre Lux. It's like, if I could, I'd just go to the fridge. I'm just going to get you what I want, and then I'll put it in front of you. You will then sell it to me, and then I will...
Why don't I get what I've got from home, and that's right. You can sell me that.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Why don't you sell me stuff I've already bought? So that was good. And then I popped up to the Owl House project just to hassle Ben, because I thought, well, you know, if a man of mine finds a bar, I'll get him a hard time.
Look, to me, it's a national sport, maybe even a pastime, to hassle Ben.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm hassling him right now.
But
he's not even on the bar.
We just spend our whole lives hassling Ben. That's pretty much all we do. I take what I said before back. The low light was not the Wild Wild West. It was that bloody quiz we went to on Friday.
Oh.
That was the low light. I can't believe I forgot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was saving that one because that was going to be my low light.
Okay, well, then you should please claim it as your own.
It seemed like it was stupidly overbooked. Went across two rooms.
The speakers were only in one room, as far as we could tell.
It was just odd, was what it was.
There wasn't a strong beer focus there.
No.
Either. It was a quiz.
Mm.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, the beers were good. So Nomad Brewing and Beavertown showed up with their core range and a couple of seasonals, and they were all nice beers and whatnot. But yeah,
look, we're sorry, it wasn't to our taste.
Yeah, we found it annoying.
Yeah.
The table next to us was having a great time.
That's true. They were having a great time. So maybe
and there was so much merchandise, it was scary.
Yes. That's right.
I think we all walked out of there with Guinness hats, even though Guinness wasn't connected with it whatsoever.
That's right.
A Cooper's stubby cooler. Didn't have a Cooper's all night.
No.
That's true.
And lots of Cooper's hats, but there was no Cooper's whatsoever. No. I mean, I'm guessing they probably sponsor Good Beer Week. But they certainly sponsor Gap.
And we got random numbers of beer tokens each.
Yeah.
So the way it was set up was, you know, you got a pony sized glass, not an actual pony, but the 2-inch glass.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. If you could drink, like, you know, four ponies worth of beer, that would be great. And yeah, so you were meant to get four tokens with your thing, but like I think I had four. Gareth, you had five. Chris, you had I don't know how many. And then a couple of one of our friends on our table had like six, and then two people didn't turn up, and their glasses had like, I don't know, seven and five underneath them. So we ended up with just so many tokens. Like, we actually struggled to use them all by the end of the night. We didn't pay for many beers above what we paid for in the price of the ticket.
It was virtually all you can drink.
Yes, right.